knows, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Let me read you an advertisement printed in Australia's Sunday Telegraph of June 14th, 1992, page 96. This advertisement was not made by a business or any other private entity, but rather by the government, and constitutes an official notice to Australian citizens. It is also a frightening portent of America's future. I quote from the ad. Personal protection is no reason to have a gun. If you own a gun which you keep to protect yourself, your family, or your property, you must dispose of it legally. Under the latest gun laws, personal and property protection are no longer considered acceptable reasons to possess any type of firearm or to get a license. If you wish to possess any gun, you must have a license and meet the new requirements for safe storage of the weapon and its ammunition. When your current license expires, you must reapply if you want to continue to possess or use a gun. Be warned, making a false or misleading statement on your license application could earn you 10 years in prison. Act quickly. If you haven't got a license, now is the time to either apply for one or legally dispose of your gun. One way you can do this is at your local police station. Possession and use of any firearm for personal or property protection is illegal and will attract severe penalties. No exceptions, no excuses. The New South Wales Police Service, the New South Wales government, putting people first by managing better. Close quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the entire text of the ad. Allow me to repeat one phrase. Possession and use of any firearm for personal or property protection is illegal and will attract severe penalties. Those who would disarm us have attained their goal in the New World Order's province of Australia. And that is also their goal here in America. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms," close quote. He well knew that the very definition of freedom requires that every free man have the right and indeed the responsibility of self-defense and of defense of his family, community, and nation. In a world where firearms exist, that means the right to own firearms. And in a world where tyranny exists, that means the ability to own weapons effective enough to discourage tyrants from trampling on your rights, from attacking your family in Ruby Ridge or Richmond, from burning down your church in Waco or in Wichita. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Thomas Jefferson also said, quote, "The strongest reason for the people to retain their right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government," close quote. When he uttered those words, Thomas Jefferson had just seen the successful conclusion of a bloody revolution against a tyranny that in retrospect seems benign compared to the cryptocracy which now rules us from New York, Hollywood, and Washington, D.C. Many of his comrades had lost their lives in that revolution. Jefferson's goal was to ensure forever the right of Americans to own effective weapons. When they used the word militia, The founding fathers of our nation meant the armed citizenry, which they saw as a bulwark against foreign invaders and against the armed agents of tyranny at home, of which they had had quite enough from King George III. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Samuel Adams said, quote, "The said Constitution shall never be construed to authorize Congress to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms." Close quote. Patrick Henry said, quote, "The great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able may have a gun." Close quote. The father of our Constitution, James Madison, said, quote, "Americans need never fear their government because of the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation." Close quote. What a contrast these words of Jefferson, Adams, Henry, and Madison are to the words we hear today. The words of Metzenbaum, the words of Foxman, the words of Schumer, the words of Feinstein. The names themselves tell the story of the loss of our country to a new ruling class, which, like George III, fears an armed citizenry and works with infinite patience, step by step by step, to gradually disarm us. Unlike the founding fathers, our new rulers do not openly state their intentions, but cloak them in deception, in pleasant-sounding mendacity, and with Talmudic trickery and infinite patience take each of the steps leading to a disarmed population facing an all-powerful government which is armed to the teeth. The technique probably would not fool so many Americans were it not for the fact that the mass media are firmly in the hands of this new ruling class, which has arisen since the Second World War. Their tried and true con game works like this. A psychotic or a member of a minority gang commits a heinous crime. The liars of the mass media shed crocodile tears for the victim as their cameras focus in on the real perpetrator of the crime, a gun. The kept editorial writers and journalists leap into action, calling for restrictions on, you name it, handguns, guns with magazines larger than 5 rounds, certain types of ammunition, etc. Whatever masters have decreed is the next on the list for elimination. The list, ladies and gentlemen, will not end until we have no weapons and they have them all. Then the bot politicians leap into action, gathering their forces and clamoring for the passage of the latest gun restriction or confiscation bill, the essentials of which have been written long in advance by the Anti-Defamation League or the other well-funded organizations of America's enemies. How many more times are the sheep-like Americans going to fall for this con game? Remember, it was Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, real name Ulyanov, there's one of those names again, who said, quote, "One of the basic conditions for the victory of socialism is the disarming of the middle class." Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. And it isn't only liberals who are fooled by this con game. You conservatives who voted for no-knock warrant laws under which government agents can enter your home or place of business on almost any pretext. You who voted for forfeiture laws under which your property and your life savings can be taken by the government without a trial. You who voted for the institution of dozens of different government police agencies, each one of which is armed with the latest in spying and killing machinery. You should listen to the words of the director of the Federal Law Enforcement Assistance Administration, who stated before the United States Congress, quote, "I am one who believes that as a first step, the U.S. should move expeditiously to disarm the civilian population, other than police or security officers, of all handguns, pistols, and revolvers. No one should have the right to anonymous ownership or use of a gun." Close quote. This agency also stated, quote, "There can be no right of privacy in regard to armament. We seek a disarmed populace." Conservative gun owners, unless you begin to understand what is happening in this country, you may wake up one day as an inmate in one of those thousands of new prisons which you voted to have constructed as an answer to the crime problem. To liberals, I would say, America does not have a gun problem. America has a race problem. To conservatives, I would say, America does not have a crime problem as much as we have a treason problem. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. It isn't only our private arms that the subversives and traitors want to take away from us. They are even planning to take away the protection of our armed forces, which they are converting into mercenaries for the United Nations and security forces to keep dissidents like us in line. Don't believe it? Let me refer you to State Department document number 7277, which states in part, quote, "The United States program for general and complete disarmament will lead to a world in which adjustment to change takes place in accordance with the principles of the United Nations. In order to make possible the achievement of that goal, the program sets forth the following specific objectives toward which nations should direct their efforts. 1. The disbanding of all national armed forces and the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever, other than those required to national order and for contributions to a United Nations peace force. 2. The elimination from national arsenals of all armaments, including all weapons of mass destruction and the means for their delivery, other than those required for a United Nations peace force and for maintaining internal order. And 3. The manufacture of armaments would be prohibited except for those of agreed types and quantities to be used by the UN peace force and those required to maintain internal order. All other armaments would be destroyed or converted to peaceful purposes." Close quote. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. From the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 14, we have the following chart. U.S. Three-Stage Disarmament Plan. In Stage 1, the U.S. military is large and the U.N. peacekeeping force is small. In Stage 2, the U.S. military is smaller, with the U.N. peacekeeping force increased. And in Stage 3, the U.S. military is gone as an independent entity, with all national military forces under the control of the U.N. as so-called peacekeeping forces, with the U.S. allowed only an internal security force to quiet any who object. Ladies and gentlemen, is this not the pattern you have seen developing before your eyes? In Korea, in Vietnam, in Iraq, in Somalia? And this was published in 1962. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Were the American people ever asked if they wanted their sons to die to enforce the dictates of a world government? Have our leaders and our news media honestly informed us that they were leading us into a world government? Have we been given an opportunity to pass judgment on this idea and throw these world government proponents out of office if we decided to keep the independence our forefathers fought and died to procure for us? No, my friends, we have never been given that opportunity. The proof that these traitors and subversives are out to enslave us is fourfold. First is the voluminous documentation of their plan, a tiny part of which I have brought to your attention on this program. Second is the fact that they have not been honest with us about their intentions. If their intentions were benevolent, why would they have to trick us into surrendering our freedom and our nation itself? Third is their unrelenting attack on our right to keep and bear arms. Governments which are of, by, and for the people do not fear their own citizens. But tyrants feel secure only when the people are disarmed. Fourth is the fact that both major political parties in this country are controlled from behind the scenes by entities long dedicated to the creation of a so-called New World Order on the corpse of America. I maintain that those who have deceived us on such a colossal cannot possibly have our best interests at heart. President Bill Clinton's favorite college professor, Georgetown University's Carroll Quigley, who himself approved of the New World Order, though he disagreed with its policy of secrecy over the years, said in his magnum opus, Tragedy and Hope, quote, "The relationship between the financial circles of London and those of the eastern United States reflects one of the most powerful influences in 20th century American and world history. The two ends of this English-speaking axis have sometimes been called, perhaps facetiously, the English and American establishments. There is, however, a considerable degree of truth behind the joke, a truth which reflects a very real power structure. It is this power structure which the radical right in the United States has been attacking for years in the belief that they are attacking the communists. This is particularly true when these attacks are directed, as they so frequently are, at Harvard socialism or at left-wing newspapers like the New York Times and the Washington Post, or at foundations." Close quote. The most visible of the organizations of world government proponents is the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR for short, the members of which have formed a high percentage of the appointees and elected members of every administration, both Democrat and Republican, since the Franklin Roosevelt regime. According to researcher Dan Smoot, quote, "The Council on Foreign Relations, together with a great number of other associated tax-exempt organizations, constitutes the invisible government, which sets the major policies of the federal government, exercises controlling influence on government officials who implement these policies, and, through massive and skillful propaganda, influences Congress and the public to support their policies. I am convinced that the objective of this invisible government is to convert America into a socialist state and then make it a unit in a one-world socialist system." Close quote. CFR members literally run every administration in Washington, be it Democrat or Republican. That is one reason why, my friends, that on all the really important issues, the policies pursued remain the same no matter which party is in power. That is why the nearly complete conversion of America into a province of the New World Order continues apace, regardless of the rhetoric of the province's current overseers. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Again, I quote from Bill Clinton's mentor, Dr. Carol Quigley. Quote, I know of the operations of this network because I have studied it for 20 years and was permitted for 2 years in the early 1960s to examine its papers and secret records. I have no aversion to it or to most of its aims and have, for much of my life, been close to it and many of its instruments. I have objected both in the past and recently to a few of its policies. But in general, my chief difference of opinion is that it wishes to remain unknown, and I believe its role in history is significant enough to be known. Close quote. Why would he expose to the public the operations of the secret government of which he evidently approved? Cleon Skousen's review of Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, gives us the reason. Quote, His answer appears in a number of places, but is especially forceful and clear on pages 979 and 980. He says, in effect, that it is now too late for the little people to turn back the tide. In a spirit of kindness, he is therefore urging them not to fight the noose, which is already around their necks. Close quote. With all due respect to Dr. Quigley, I utterly reject his call to surrender. The forces behind the CFR also exert controlling influence over more radical movements which are useful in corralling us into their world plantation. In his book, The Naked Capitalist, Dr. Cleon Skousen, a former FBI official and later professor at Brigham Young University, reveals that a former member of the National Committee of the Communist Party USA, Dr. Bella V. Dodd, who later became an ardent anti-communist, told him, quote, I think the communist conspiracy is merely a branch of a much bigger conspiracy, close quote. Skousen relates, quote, Dr. Dodd said she first became aware of some mysterious super leadership right after World War II, when the U.S. Communist Party had difficulty getting instructions from Moscow on several vital matters requiring immediate attention. The American communist hierarchy was told that any time they had an emergency of this kind, they should contact any one of three designated persons at New Waldorf Towers. Dr. Dodd noted that whenever the party obtained instructions from any of these three men, Moscow always ratified them. What puzzled Dr. Dodd was the fact that not one of these three contacts was a Russian. Nor were any of them communists. In fact, all three of them were extremely wealthy American capitalists. Close quote. Americans, you had better wake up before the noose is around your neck. Ladies and gentlemen, the day that we stop playing in the playground of conventional politics, the day that we rip the blinders from our eyes and confront the enemies of America as they really are, is a day that you are bringing closer and closer by your support of American dissident voices. There is no better way for you to support our broadcasts on this station and for you to gain an understanding of what is happening to our beloved America than for you to obtain a copy of our radio offer for this week. It's Dr. Revelo P. Oliver's magisterial and brilliantly witty book, America's Decline. By reading America's Decline, you will be given an in-depth historical view of what has happened to America in recent decades and the intellectual framework necessary for our renewal. America's Decline is a 375-page collection of the insights of one of the greatest minds of this century. It is the work of one of this nation's greatest scholars and masters of the English language, and a leader in the patriotic movement since 1954. If we can get the hands of young Americans, we can change the course of history. America's Decline will be sent to every one of you who contributes $12 or more to the continued airing of this program as our radio offer number 22. Just send as large a gift as you can afford, a minimum of $12, and ask for radio offer number 22. Our announcers will give you the address in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot stay on this station unless more support is forthcoming from our listeners. We have overextended ourselves dangerously in order to bring the truth to our people on this network of high-power stations, which now covers nearly all of North America on AM radio and most of the world on international shortwave. Please, if you ever write to us this week. Let us join hands together and make America a free nation once again.
You've been listening to American Dissident Voices,
a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans and for patriots of our Western civilization around the world.
American Dissident Voices depends upon the voluntary support of its listeners to stay on the air.
Please send the largest gift you can afford today.
Send $1 for a book and tape catalog listing over 300 titles that the controlled media don't want you to see.
Our overseas listeners can substitute two international reply coupons for the $1. For a gift of $12 or more, you can receive a high fidelity cassette recording of today's program.
Please give us the call letters of this station, the subject of the program, and today's date.
Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
And until the next broadcast, this is Richard Cotton reminding you, as always, freedom is not free, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America.